Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, Sasha of Green Mining DAO. He explains to me how they are utilizing Bitcoin miners all over the globe, how they are giving access to you for Bitcoin mining all over the globe, as well as what happens when they try to open up a mining facility in the Ukraine right before the Russia invasion. And much, much more. So tune in for another action-packed episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. And smash that subscribe button if you haven't already. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Bring everybody to the State of Bitcoin podcast. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is not financial advice. Everything you hear in this podcast should not be taken as financial advice. Do you own Bitcoin? Is it sitting on an exchange right now? Well, get it the hell off of it. Use a Foundation hardware wallet. They got one of the slickest hardware wallets in the game. You can go to foundation.xyz and get yourself one. Get yourself a passport. Use the Envoy app. And it's in the most private and secure way possible. You can hold your Bitcoin. And then what are you going to do with that seed phrase? Stamp it on a stamp seed punch plate. You can get yourself a titanium punch plate. They've even got great new ones. They got stacks. They got all these different kinds of ones. They got 12. They got 24. Whatever you're looking for. They got a slick new hammer as well. So go ahead and get yourself one at stampseed.com. You can use promo code GREENCANDLE for both of those. Foundation.xyz and stampseed.com. Foundation.xyz, Green Candle will get you $10 hairs off. And Green Candle at Stampseed will get you 15% off. So I'm saving you sats and I'm helping you secure your Bitcoin. And what better way to orange pill your friends and family than Bitcoin trading cards? Go to BTC-TC and get yourself some Bitcoin trading cards. You can get influencer packs of great people that you're going to see at a conference or see around at meetups, see around everywhere. These Bitcoiners are everywhere trying to orange pill the world. Or you could get some Genesis packs, help yourself learn a little bit about what is going on in the Bitcoin space and some great topics, some great talking points. All right, enough from me. Let's get into the show. Whoosh. Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast where I've got Sasha of Green Mining DAO, who recently tweeted out that the day of the halving was one of their best days historically and that they were making more than during the last epoch. So despite all the narratives, Green Mining DAO seems to be crushing it. So Sasha, welcome to the show. And how the hell did that happen, man? I thought the halving was supposed to hurt the miners, not help them.
Well, usually it does, but first of all, thank you so much for having me, Brandon, and thank you for this fantastic and very euphoric introduction. that tweet was really supposed to be also a little bit funny, and it was very much connected to the launch of Runes, which is an innovation, so to say, to have fungible tokens on Bitcoin. And a lot of people wanted to, you know, create their own runes, their own tokens, and inscribe maybe even on the halving block. So there was a lot of transaction fees that were spent that day, and it was actually so exciting because we went from $110 per petahash all the way up to 180, and we were just sitting there like, oh my god, is this gonna last? That would have been so cool, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, it probably didn't last. But I want to talk about a little bit about that, right? Because it seems like the miners were struggling throughout this past, 4 years, throughout this past cycle, especially in the last bull market, right? We saw a lot of miners almost like FOMO in, right? Put a lot of leverage on their machines, a lot of things like that. They got crushed when the subsequent bear market hit. But then you got kind of a nice little boost here with ordinals. So, I mean, from what I've understood are the conversations that I've had, it seems like a lot of miners don't have a strict opinion on ordinals, like whether it's good or bad. All they know is it's helping them. So do you have an opinion as to whether or not like ordinals, runes, like these inscriptions on the Bitcoin blockchain are good for Bitcoin? Or are you more just kind of stay in your own lane and focus on, how you can make the most efficient use of energy for the mining business?
Well, I mean, look, just like everyone, I have an opinion, but whatever it's worth it. Yeah, I have to say that I think in general, you have to look at this question with from various angles. Number one, first of all, I think it's good to see continuous BIPs on Bitcoin, which allow for innovation within the Bitcoin ecosystem itself. So I first of all think that ordinals and also runes are a positive thing, a positive sign that there is actually development. People are busy with Bitcoin. They're, you know, trying to introduce changes to the ecosystem and to the code that allows us to, you know, create new stuff. That's one where I think personally the network and Bitcoin and in general our ecosystem benefits from, and we're seeing more and more, let's say, innovation and things that were happening on Ethereum and other blockchains also being applied to Bitcoin, because essentially or eventually ordinals were nothing else than NFTs on Ethereum and other blockchains before. So I think it's, first of all, it's good something is happening. And that also allows us to orange pill no coiners more and more because it gives them a different entry point. Yeah. So that's one. The second item is for us as miners, obviously it's fantastic if the network is being used and transaction fees are, you know, being increased and we see more and more revenue. That's fantastic. Yeah. Because it, like, you know, historically we're looking at like 1-4% during bear market times of the block subsidy being the transaction fees. And if that jumps and we're talking 10, 30, 50%, well, that's fantastic, specifically after the halving. Yeah. And the particular data we were talking about there, I don't have the exact numbers in my head anymore. But we had, I think it was 300% or so of the whole block subsidy were, or compared to the block reward, 300% versus the block subsidy was the transaction fees coming in. So we had three times the amount of revenue through transaction fees than we had from the actual block subsidy of 3.125 Bitcoin per block. So now looking at these two answers coming from different perspectives, both of them saying, That's a great thing. They're positive in my point of view for Bitcoin. But then there comes the Bitcoiner in me that says Bitcoin is a store of value, and it's that one asset that, you know, we want to store our time and hard work in. And then it is a different discussion, because if transaction fees increase and then you're not able to make a smaller transaction on chain on Bitcoin anymore because it's polluted by ordinals, runes, or anything else, then that's obviously counterproductive and counterintuitive to what Bitcoin is meant to be. And there I'm more on the contrast side of things. And then I would have to argue, okay, well, but for that you have eventually innovations like Lightning, where you can do micro and smaller transactions, but then you're not on chain, so you have another risk there. So it's not so easy to answer, and I don't personally have a finite answer. But I would say I'm leaning 60 versus 40% towards the positive side of things, saying it's good for the ecosystem, it is development, and from a revenue perspective, obviously that's amazing for us as Green Mining DAO, being able to get even more Bitcoin for the energy that we're putting in. I don't know if that answers the question or if I deviated too wrong.
No, it is a good answer, and I think, you know, that at the crux of the answer is essentially like everything is good for Bitcoin, right? If we have like a free and open source market, you know, the scammers are going to try to scam and create some of these things or whatever. And like, maybe, you know, they make a little bit profit in the short term, but in the long term, Bitcoin's going to be the free and open market. The best, you know, case scenarios are always going to rise to the top. What helps the most amount of people. And I think, you know, it did help a lot of the miners, like in the short term, with the fees and everything like that. But, you know, in the long term, it's just not going to be sustainable, I think. But I do think like the innovation and everything around, you know, not only, you know, the mining side of things, but around like building on the blockchain or whatever, is going to try to continue. Whether or not people are successful or not, time will tell with that. But, you know, I want to get into the innovation on the mining side of things, because, you know, that is also a kind of like a big, you know, I guess, anti, you know, FUD narrative that they put around Bitcoin, is that mining is, you know, the use of energy is not necessarily good. Now, what is your viewpoint on that? You know, do you think, like, as a society, in order to grow, we need to consume more energy, or should the goal be to, you know, utilize less energy as we go on?
Yeah, I mean, super interesting question, because there's so hardcore camps left and right. And so I'm not of the camp that says more energy consumption is great, to be fair, because there's people out there that say we need to consume more energy for everything. I think if you can do it more energy efficient, why wouldn't you? That's the first statement. But then on the other hand, I always look at, like, civilization and think, okay, how did we grow? How did we develop? How do we, like, create wealth in our society? And eventually everything that brought us further costs energy and takes a lot of energy. Yeah. Be it transportation, going from left to right or from one place to the other, we need either gasoline or other energy forms of energy to actually travel, right? And that brought us the opportunity to go to a different place where more water, more harvesting, more whatever was available. So that actually was good for us as humans and society. Yeah, another thing, looking at growing food or harvesting food, or basically anything that has to do with nutrition, feeding us in a better way, R&D in that direction and sector also costs energy, which brought us a longer lifetime, more health. And if you look at the financial system, why wouldn't we want to invest money or energy on the financial system? Right now, there's a few or there's obvious flaws in our financial system, from inflation to not having access to discrimination of either certain groups of population or female or whatever, certain, like, stigmas. And Bitcoin is the only and first asset that I know where everyone can, within seconds, create a wallet and have full transparency, full power, and full ownership of their own assets. And that, if you ask me if that's worth investing energy, I would say 1,000%. It's the innovation of our 21st century. And we should 100,000% be aware that every innovation and everything that has value has consumed energy. And that's what happens with Bitcoin as well. And I actually just brought this. So I'm in Europe right now, and it's what is it? It's almost 7. And I had a conversation this morning with a journalist who was, like, also picking up this information that, yeah, you guys are mining green, right? Isn't the rest of the industry totally on coal and oil and gas and, you know, all these, like, polluting things? And I was like, yeah, that's a really great thought that you have there. But eventually the industry is already, like, 50-60% plus globally, not only with sustainable energy, but even CO2 neutral or CO2 negative operations, right? And it's interesting how long that FUD actually held and how many people still think that is bad. And I think media and whoever is behind that, or whoever thought this was the easy way to populate it, has done a great job in manipulating society and saying, well, energy consumption is bad and Bitcoin is super bad as well. But by the way, why don't you continue drying your clothes with a tumble dryer? Yeah, and I'm bringing this example because eventually we as human beings are consuming more energy for drying our clothes in a tumble dryer than we're actually consuming with Bitcoin. And if I asked you, Brandon, what would you rather invest your energy and time and, you know, wealth on? Would it be saving 5 minutes hanging up your clothes and wearing them 12 hours earlier because they dried in a machine, versus everyone on the freaking planet, be them black, white, yellow, male, female, whatever in between, have access to money and financial solutions and a monetary system? What is it worth? Like, what is it worth spending the money on?
Yeah. At energy, yeah? It seems like a no-brainer too, and right, like, I mean, a big FUD too is that you know, it uses too much. But in the U.S., Christmas lights, right? I mean, they bring joy for that 1 month of the year, but that 1 month consumes more energy than Bitcoin miners do globally. So, you know, I think Bitcoin encourages the use of renewable energy, as you said. But I mean, I think it all kind of comes back to, you know, the law of conservation of energy, right? It's like, it's not like we're going to run out of energy, right? I mean, it's like energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So if we could just utilize it effectively, like you're saying, and utilize it for a cause that, you know, we can be multi-purpose. I know people that use Bitcoin miners to heat their homes. So opposed to, you know, just plugging in a heater and then getting that heater, you're getting a little bit of money back and contributing to the most sound network there is. So, you know, I just don't really understand those benefits. And they try to, you know, cite things like thermodynamics or everything, but they're forgetting that first law of conservation of energy. I mean, it's just, it seems like a no-brainer, but hey, you know, I guess we can't really get to them eventually. But, you know, with all that, right, with a lot of the FUD that you've been facing, what are some of the most exciting, like, innovative projects that you've seen in the energy industry that Bitcoin mining has kind of pushed towards that? Because, I mean, obviously you're in Europe. There was like kind of rumors floating around that Europe was going to get in an energy crisis, especially at the beginning of this Russia and Ukraine conflict that we got going on. So, you know, what are some innovations that you've seen and maybe like some that you're even working on right now?
Well, I mean, I unfortunately, we can't come up with or no, we could. There's some great mining operations in Europe, but compared to United States or to Asia, Russia, like, or even South America, we're still a very small light, I would say. But in general, the number one, I think, is curtailment, which everyone has on top of their mind. If energy is needed by participants in the grid, be it during a storm or excessive heat, turning on and off, and basically as a Bitcoin miner, being able to provide energy when it's needed somewhere else, that is the number one innovation that miners have been very, very proactively supporting the grids with, yeah, I would say. A second one that is very, very cool to see in rural areas is to build out small hydropower plants or small solar wind power plants that are built in areas where the village, the community could not afford the power plant themselves, but in combination with a miner who is taking the baseload energy or a large amount of energy, can actually fund the project and give them all electricity, which is the build out of energy sources and electrification of rural areas. So those are two things that I think are working now quite well and have been a, let's say, story or narrative for a while, but are now seeing real application, which is fantastic. And another one which we also do ourselves is actually, and you just said it very beautifully, energy doesn't go away, it doesn't get destroyed, it just transforms itself, basically. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to look at things from a circular economy perspective. So we're taking renewable energy, specifically hydropower, we love hydropower, very stable, very like large amounts available, and we take it, we mine Bitcoin, and then we actually reuse the heat and dry Bitcoin mangoes, and are, you know, thereby transforming the energy not only in sats and in Bitcoin, but also in some nice juicy mangoes. Yeah, and these are really, really nice. They taste very good. People are super happy. We're not using any additional energy other than our human or human capital or human power to you know, wash them, cut them, slice them, dry them. And then they're sitting there between 12 hours and 3 days, depending on what kind of like kind we want. And we're even preventing 2.5 tons of CO2 per up and running megawatt of Bitcoin mining capacity, where we're reusing the excess heat. And I think this is a model which we will see more and more in the future, be it for warming houses, or you mentioned bathtubs, I think earlier, you mentioned the house, and I was thinking of the New York bathtub, yeah. So drying foods, yeah, drying fruits to beef jerky, whatever, and everything in between. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. And it's not only that it decreases CO2 emissions, because when you dry this, usually you have either in countries like, you know, where Burkina Faso, where they dry mango or produce mangoes and so forth, they even burn woods to then dry them. Or they in Europe use drying ovens, which are also consuming quite a lot of energy, that is very often also not coming from renewable energy sources. So by reutilizing the heat, we're not only saving or preventing CO2, but we're also, in addition, adding another revenue stream to the company, which allows us to mine Bitcoin even cheaper and to also navigate volatility in the Bitcoin mining or in the Bitcoin prices and the hash price index. So these are things that I could think of right now, and I think there's probably plenty more that are coming up, and it's super exciting. And I think as we all know, Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining is one of the best examples for free markets and real like co-opetition, yeah, a mixture of cooperation and competition that, you know, sparks innovation, and we're super excited about it.
No, 100%, and I agree. Yeah, and it is a bathhouse in New York City, I believe, that uses it. It's like a steam room, yeah. that's been using. I haven't been able to get up there to New York and check it out, but I need to. I mean, it sounds like it would be a pretty cool experience to go out there. But I mean, a ton of innovation, right? I mean, I know of companies developing water heaters to do that for houses and everything like that. I mean, I'm in Florida, so I mean, it's hot as shit right now. So I don't necessarily need any extra heat right now, but I mean, I need hot water, right? I mean, I would like hot water, right? I mean, I think that would help a lot with, people all over the globe. Every single home needs heat in some way, shape, or form. And so I think that's where the next innovation is going. But do you think that there's going to be some sort of, a battle, right? Because, like, you know, there is the narrative of the plug-and-play miners. Do you think that that's going to be, sort of dead in the future, where simply, you know, you're not trying to maximize the most use of your energy, you're going straight off the grid, you're just plugging your miner into the wall, or maybe having some sort of facility. Do you think that that's going to be longer, or that's not going to be around much longer, and that, you know, you're going to need to find ways to innovate, kind of like what you guys are doing in some of the ways that you mentioned previously?
I personally think that this could be the last cycle in which we have pure miners. And moving forward, I truly believe that with the increase of competition, thinking of additional revenue models is going to be crucial for Bitcoin miners, and or obviously large efficiencies and economies of scale. So it is one of the most competitive markets that I've ever been in, and if not the most competitive, and it's I think one of the ways forward is to add additional revenue streams. Yes.
Well, where do you think that the innovation, so you talked about the innovation on like a global scale, right? I mean, outside of the things that I mentioned, do you think that that's going to be maybe more of an innovative, mining is going to be more incorporated in like the home building side of things? Have you seen anything like that? Are you curious on that side of things? Are you looking more at like, more industrial applications?
I personally think that more and more companies that are either producing products or are also utilizing large amounts of energy, but not using them baseload, but only on and off during weekdays or working hours, are going to look into, number one, producing their own energy, and then number two, using the excess energy to also mine Bitcoin on the side. I think that's going to be I could imagine that being a development. At least that's what I would do if I was running a paper mill or whatever, a steel production kind of thing. And I also think that it's going to be integrated with large players, be it oil, gas and oil companies, where they can, you know, making use of fracking gases or methane burning. To then use the energy twice, basically, that they're gathering, or the process that they're doing it twice. And I also imagine that it could be found in governmental in institutions or realms where governments are combining Bitcoin mining data centers with their data centers where they're operating AI or other blockchain technologies, which we will be needing and using and seeing. In regards of home mining, I personally love the tools around, you know, your own heater, and 21 Energy has a German, European company that has a very, very nice product that heats your house. And I think they will continue to exist. I think it makes sense to implement those kind of products in daily, daily use and whatever. Do I think they are going to be there for making money? Not necessarily. They're going to be, you know, I think it's small amounts that you can do either with these heaters or with applying them into your home. And eventually it does take quite some maintenance and repair and cleaning. So a miner is not just plug them into the wall and let them run and it runs forever. It is a little bit more complicated than that. And I think that not everyone on the world is super excited about spending their free time with those kind of, you know, technical things. I mean, how many people are running a node at home that are actually Bitcoiners? Very few, to be fair. So I think there's still going to be this you know, this level of, man, I have this free time and I don't want to, and I'm working in my fiat mining job, and when I then have my free time, I don't want to do this and that. So I think we're going to see more products and more innovation happening there, and I think it's great, and it's also a way to introduce people to Bitcoin. And obviously, we're looking much more on the industrial scale and professional mining innovation, where we think it's the combination of supporting the grid build out, supporting net metering and grid balancing, curtailment, and adding additional revenue streams by reutilizing the heat. Maybe one day we'll be utilizing the sound and, you know, make some nice techno music out of the sound with a sound manipulator that then takes the constant. And you know, tweak there and then make it some nice samples to be whatever integrated in DJ sets. So who knows? But I think we're very interested in doing R&D in that direction. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the DJ sounds is an interesting little play there, man. It is Friday that we're recording this. So maybe I'll have to tell my friends to get on the DJ booths or something and spin something up for us. But, you know, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of great and exciting times, exciting things happening in the Bitcoin mining space, especially energy and all that kind of stuff. But we mentioned at the beginning of the show, the halving, right? I mean, it seems like that's a big event, you know, for Bitcoin miners in general, right? So I'll leave it pretty broad here. Like, how do you view the halving? Is it positive, negative, like as a miner, like kind of how did you view it and how did you prepare for it?
I mean, look, we know about the halvings, like when they're going to happen, about since 2009 or 8, basically. So I think it shouldn't be a big surprise for everyone that they're happening. And what we did in advance is the Bitcoin Mangos also came from the idea, okay, how can we prepare for halving in revenue and 100% same cost basis? So we experimented with that and tried to add another revenue stream. So that's one. Number two, we added additional capacity right around the halving with newer machines. That's the second one. And the third one is with one of our sites, we actually now are experimenting with curtailment with a like about 85% uptime, but much, much lower energy prices, which we get for that. So those are the things that we have been playing with and working with. We're also working with, you know, I don't know if you hear that. I hope not, but it's like,
yeah, I mean, I'm like, damn, dude, Sasha, what are you doing out there, man? They're coming for you, huh?
No, man, I'm living on this huge street here right in Berlin, and we have this corner apartment where you can basically hear the sound everywhere and all the times. Valentine is actually now supporting me with closing the door here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, dude. Maybe we're talking about Bitcoin and, you know, they're coming at people for all these privacy stuff. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they're sending the cops after you or something.
You know, maybe they found my little mining farm in the basement, you know?
Exactly.
At 37 cent not too profitable, but I just do it for the tech, you know?
Yeah, there you go. You do it for the network, right? But we were talking a little bit about the halving, right? So you knew it was coming and everything, and you've been preparing for it. So that's why you guys started the Mangos. But yeah, I think that's where before the sirens cut you off.
Yeah. Sorry for the distraction. No, but so that was clear for us. And then what we also did, I mean, one of our main or the main goal of Green Mining DAO is also to provide people with access into a real world Bitcoin mining opportunity that gives them profitable returns in Bitcoin. So what we did is we just around the halving actually started with our Green Mine Free, our third site in Paraguay, to actually speak with investors there and raise funds from $5,000 on, and basically gathered funds and also, you know, closed that round around end of or actually just around the halving. So we actually have capital to deploy. We have energy that we can use to plug in the miners. And we've been experimenting with additional revenue streams, which also was very successful. And then last but not least, we were also looking in the newest mining equipment innovation or innovation in mining equipment. And that's actually when the sirens came. And we're also, tuning our machines. So we're also working on the firmware of the machines to decrease energy consumption and increase the hash rate, which has been working quite well for us with about 14 to 17% efficiency improvement. So those were the things, and it's a highly complex topic, right? And I often tell investors and community members before they join, when they're saying, okay, hey man, I want to mine with some miners, can I buy 10 miners and host them with you? Or do it myself, I say, yeah, I mean, we don't host, that's not a business that we want to do, because we're aligning businesses and we're aligning the interests of our investors with ourselves, and our customers are investors. But if you do it yourself, it's more than just plugging the miner into the wall, and you're most likely going to have quite some headaches. And that comes from, it's complex. There is a firmware on the machines that you can manipulate and tune. There is like three or four big portions of the miner that you need to keep in shape and that you need to repair, replace, and so forth. And then there's a topic about geopolitical challenges, getting cheap energy, and all the stuff around it. So long story short, I think the preparation for halving and looking at it is a more multifaceted answer to it. And last but not least, your question, what do I think about the halving? Man, I think the halving is the number one thing that makes Bitcoin valuable. Yeah, so it's a must have. It's there's no option around it.
Yeah, and I agree with you there too. I think like the digital scarcity aspect of Bitcoin is just so highly underrated. And I don't think like the human mind can actually comprehend something as scarce as Bitcoin, because, it just like, we just think like there's, you can make an infinite amount of anything really, right? I mean, it just, I don't know, that's just kind of like the mindset. And especially right now in times where we want everything as quickly as possible and things like that, trying to get having the long time horizon that Bitcoin forces you to have and all that kind of stuff, I think like really changes the outlook that we currently have. So I think, like you said, the halving is one of the greatest innovations of all time. And I think that it'll go down in history as that. We were talking a little bit about, just the overall like halving and everything like that. But with mining innovation, right? I mean, I know that there's that and the geopolitical risk. So I want to get into those two points that you brought up. How do you balance the potential of geopolitical risk with also like the benefit of getting cheap energy? Like, how are you guys evaluating those things? And I kind of looking at it that way.
Yeah, I mean that's a great question. Yeah, because there's countries that are more developed and energy prices higher, and then there's countries that are less developed and assumed to be more risky with lower energy prices. And I think it's a portfolio game. Yeah, I learned one major thing from my father, or many actually, but one thing that I always remember with investments is the best strategy and the only strategy is diversification. So I think to put all eggs in one basket is probably the most risky thing to do in life and as well as in mining. And that's why we're also interested in expanding towards many, many locations. And the concept of Green Mining DAO is to run multiple locations and multiple facilities in different areas of the world. So far, we've worked in Asia, Middle East, and South America. We're looking to expanding into two new regions over the next 24 months. And what we usually do is like a thorough risk analysis. So obviously, we look at the things that could happen in the country geopolitically, economically, but also from a ecological perspective, stability of grids, of energy providers, what is the risk factor in regards of manipulation and corruption. So there's multiple components of a risk analysis that we're looking at. And luckily enough, we have a few very experienced investors with global experience in company building. So that's what, like, the group of people that we often lean on and turn towards to be connected to then people inside of the country. And what I personally always do is I go there. Yeah. So after looking at it from on a screen or on a piece of paper, speaking with some people over the phone, I think nothing works better than going there, meeting the people and just spending some time in the respective places, speak with the potential partners and players, and then really make a decision. And I think depending on where you, like, which factors you weigh more, you will either come to the conclusion to go to a risky country or not. Yeah, I think that's always a weighting question, and everyone has their own, let's say, preferences. I personally think, and then that's also very interesting, maybe, I personally think that if that done right, countries like, for example, Paraguay is a good example, and maybe even Ethiopia, that are, you know, developing countries but have excess amount of energy right now and are even proactively supporting regulation for Bitcoin mining, are maybe even a better selection than developed countries as of in Europe. Yeah, just to make an example, we started the venture Green Mining DAO actually with the idea of setting something up in Ukraine, yeah, where we plan to work with solar energy providers and then balancing the grid using only a certain portion of the solar energy throughout the day, letting the rest go into the grid and then using the rest throughout the night. And we thought this was a safe play and a secure, you know, location to do it, to only notice that a few weeks later, and I'm really talking weeks, after we signed the LOI there, that Russia invaded Ukraine. So, and, you know, we all think, oh yeah, Europe is secure and safe and this and that, but so that's one point, right? And then the second one is, if we talk corruption, I had to laugh the other day, because I think in Europe and in the Western world we call it lobbying, but in other countries we call it corruption, but it seems to be very similar and the same. So it's so long story short, your question was, what is our approach to assessing risk? We're very, very thorough on assessing risk from all perspectives, because we're eventually going there with our own money and investors' money. And we're always building up local partnerships and a local presence. And only if we're 100% sure that the risk reward ratio is good, we're going there.
Yeah, and I think that's a good, you know, way to look at it, right? I mean, like, all right, if you can't get the cheapest in the world, but use your machines, right? I mean, what's the use of, like, making that plant there? But, you know, you mentioned mining innovation. There, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, money that's being dumped into that now. I know, you know, a few years ago, Block mentioned that they were going to start to develop one. It seems like that's kind of been put on pause, but, you know, bigger companies like Tesla and some others have kind of, like, hinted at getting in it. But at the end of the day, it seems like, you know, there's a few players kind of getting in, a few players that kind of run the Bitcoin mining industry. So, you know, how do you look at it as that, like, kind of getting the most up-to-date miners, but also trying to get the most out of your machines, you know, when you do purchase them?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm not even sure if Jack's project is really paused, because I actually thought I just read the opposite in April, where it sounded like I remember something wrong. I think you're probably better informed than I am in that regards. How do I see it? Well, I think we're always talking and thinking about decentralization, right? So we want Bitcoin also so that we can get away from centralized banking and financial systems. And therefore, it would be great if we also had more competition in the mining sector, I think, because Bitmain just dominated the market for many years. Then, you know, MicroBT came along and, you know, is also in the play. But eventually, it's those two big guys, at least for if we talk about ASICs. And I think it would be great to see some more producers out there, though eventually they're being bought up by them. So if you go to Mining Disruptor Miami and then you see a few people that are actually presenting their new brand, and then you keep on asking, oh yeah, we're owned by Bitmain actually. So I think the market is very small there, and I think it would be great to see some more innovation. And I'm 100% sure that there's going to be more innovation and more innovation, specifically on the chips. I mean, how much smaller can they get? Yeah, then I think 3 millimeters, but let's see. Yeah, it would be great to see more competition. And on the other hand, what I think is also interesting, the distribution process has already highly developed and evolved since I bought the first miners. When I really was, oh my God, can I hit the button? Can I send this money to them? By now, it's actually the trustworthy partners. It's much easier to pick the ones that will deliver. It's much easier to trust even used machines that are being sold. So I think that has already evolved rapidly, and even Bitmain themselves is becoming much more, let's say, supportive and customer oriented lately than they were many, many years ago, where they just said, okay, I'm gonna sell this to the resellers and then leave me alone. Now we have direct relationships with them, we're interacting directly with them, and I think that the same is gonna happen to the tech. Yeah, I would be surprised if it wouldn't happen. Why would tech innovation not happen in the most relevant general innovation of our human society in the 21st century?
Hey, that's a great point. And I think that's going to continue. But we've been dancing around it this whole time. Green Mining DAO, right? I mean, you work on it. You guys do a lot of great things. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys do outside of the mangoes? Because, you know, it's around lunchtime here, man. You got me a little hungry talking about these mangoes. So, you know, what do you guys do, and like, what's your differentiator that makes you guys different? And let's hear it.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I mean, I'll ship you some mangoes definitely, and they're super yummy. Yeah, we have two kinds, sweet and sticky, and sour and juicy. And I'm the sour and juicy guy, so we'll make two.
I think we're in the same boat there, brother. I think the sour and juicy sounds more appealing.
I'll make sure to send you some. So with Green Mining DAO, we're building the first decentralized Bitcoin mining ecosystem based on a real-world entity and a DAO structure and combination. And in a nutshell, investors can buy into a Bitcoin mining facility and receive Bitcoin on a quarterly basis into their wallet, defined as dividends. So how it works is, we enable people to become a shareholder in a Swiss-based company. That Swiss-based company buys ASICs and owns machines on their balance sheet, and it runs a Bitcoin mining operation in combination of using renewable cheap energy, to which we have access because of the size and the time that we have been in the industry, in combination with reusing excess heat to utilize additional revenue streams. And we're currently producing one Bitcoin for around 40,000 in cost, and using obviously the spread to have a margin. And that's what our investors benefit from. They don't have to go and buy Bitcoin for 68,000, but they can actually become a shareholder in our company and earn Bitcoin at cost, at production cost. So that's eventually the business model that we have. And we allow investors to join from 5,000 Swiss francs on, and basically become a Bitcoin miner without actively doing anything. And I think the USP here really is, and I have been I've bought my first miners in 2016, and being hosted by someone else, and you know, being a customer, I know what works well and what doesn't work well. And when I was always frustrated was when I you know, paid 6-7 cents per kilowatt hour or even more to find out that they purchased the energy for free or the half or whatever. And that spread was not really, you know, I didn't feel the value was brought up by them not even cleaning the machines and charging for every fan. And so the spread between the energy, how a hosted mining company is purchasing it and then selling it, is a big spread. And the same for machines. Yeah, if you go on any page right now, I could buy an S19K Pro for $2,000 or more if I bought with a hosting company, and very often they force me to buy the machines with them. But I personally go to Bitmain and buy it for $1,000 or $1,200. So that's the difference that you can achieve if you buy in larger quantities, if you utilize the relationships with suppliers and partners. And that's what we are offering. So we're basically acting as a partner, as an entrepreneurial partner who joins forces with our investors, who doesn't charge extra on the energy, who doesn't charge extra on the pricing of the miners, and who doesn't charge anything extra on the operational cost or land rent. So we do everything at cost. And the way we earn money as entrepreneurs and as founders is we keep 20% equity. So everything at cost, we keep 20% equity, and then the mine produces Bitcoin. And if the mine, or basically if you as an investor earn money, we earn money. If you don't earn money, we don't earn money, because we're at the same level, all holding Class A shares, and therefore basically benefiting only when the company is profitable. So that's what we do, and I think that's what makes us special. And we're also letting people partake in decision-making processes and so forth. And last but not least, we were talking about runes, right, earlier, and about tokenization or runes and fungible tokens. What we do is the shares of the company are actually tokenized and people can trade it. So you can at any point in time, if you said, okay, I'm done, I was here for 2 years and I made every year 20, 30% dividends or ROI on my investment. I invest 100K and I got 20, 30K back every single year. And after 2 years, I want to sell it. And then I'm selling it for, let's say, a 2X in the token price because the company value appreciated. Well, then you can do that on chain without doing anything and without going to a notary or without going to a NASDAQ or anything. And I think that's also a big benefit. Because if you have your own machines, where do you sell them? Yeah, I don't know, Amazon, Craigslist, or eBay. There's no liquid market really for that.
Yeah, 100%. Now, for all that, do you need to KYC or do you guys take KYC information to have people like invest in your company and like purchase some shares and whatnot?
Yes, we do take KYC. I know that getting Bitcoin without KYC is fantastic, and I'm a fan of that as well. In this case, you are not only investing in a store of value as a Bitcoin, but you're investing in a productive asset that actually produces Bitcoin, right? And unfortunately, it is law that if you run a company and have shareholders in Switzerland, you're obliged to know who your shareholders are at any point in time. So yes, we do have to do KYC. And before you're basically able to buy and sell the token, you do have to do KYC. And I mean, right now we for GM3, which is the third side, we have concluded the first financing round as of like 2 weeks ago. And we just started the second financing round. So we're actually accepting investors right now with a 7.5% bonus that they get. And when they do it and while they do it and learn more about the company and about everything we do, we then also, after they sign the terms of investment, ask them for a KYC, which is eventually a very small process. And we're not sharing this with anyone else. And they are in good hands with that.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a nature of the beast at this point in time, unfortunately. So, I mean, it's just part of it, right? But, where are you guys available? Like, can anybody invest in you guys? Or like, is there some limitations of that right now because of, some of the processes and things like that?
Yeah, so I'm available over WhatsApp. I'm sure that it's not what you meant, but no, you can basically... we have a list of countries that from which we can accept investors. We basically are located in Switzerland, and that's also our core market. That being said, anyone in the world can reach out to us and join and participate. There's regulations depending on the country, how much of a professional investor you need to be or not to be. And that depends on the country where the person is from, which they most likely know better than we do for each of the countries.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. So there could be some limitations. So like in the US, for example, you probably need to be an accredited investor. If you know what that means. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what that means. So okay. That is a very good example from the US. You need to have a disposable income of $1 million, I think, to be that or to have a certain amount of money that you're investing on an annual basis. I don't have all the numbers in my mind, but that is exactly those thresholds that I'm referring to. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the US, you know, for those who don't know, it's like $1 million worth of assets outside of your own personal home. And then you need to make like 200,000, or you can make 200,000 a year for at least 2 years consecutively. So, I mean, I think they're becoming a little bit looser on those standards, but I don't know. We'll see. So hopefully, like, you know, with, you know, the way things are going, that they'll start to open this up for everybody, right? And then we can see people get more access to mining. But, you know, Sasha, you've been very generous with your time. I feel like we've had an outstanding conversation about everything that, you know, is coming up on the mining front. Why don't you tell people where they can find out more about you and more about Green Mining DAO?
Yeah, cool. Well, first of all, again, thank you so much for having me, Brandon. A really fun conversation, even late at night and lunch for you. It's I think it was a really cool conversation. I really enjoyed it. You can find us at greenminingdao.io. I can send you the address and maybe we can put it in the show notes. I think that's what people say to these things, right?
Yeah.
And so greenminingdao.io. And again, the whole team is doxed, and obviously we're all available on be it email, WhatsApp, or LinkedIn. Anytime, reach out. And if you want to buy some of these yummy mangoes, you can get them at Bitcoin's hyphen. Now, what is the minus in English again?
That's hyphen, yeah. Or dash or whatever, yeah. Bitcoin dash, what? Is it Bitcoin dash mangoes?
Yes, .com. Well, I think it's singular, Bitcoin dash mango.
Okay.
Bitcoin dash mango is right here, bitcoin-mango.com. But you can also find them on the greenminingdao.io shop. So they're available in both shops. And but yeah, you can just you can find the current investment opportunity, Green Mine Free, on the website. We inform about everything. And if you like type, or if you click apply now and enter the type form, your name and how you would like us to reach out to you and maybe who referred to you, then feel free, or then we'll reach out to you and you'll get all the information and data rooms and so forth. And if you put Green Candlelit in it as a referral, then you get another 2.5% bonus.
Oh, there we go. There we go. That's awesome stuff. I like it, man. I like it. So yeah, we'll put all that in the show notes so you guys should check them out. And then Sasha, thanks so much, man, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good time.